boys who fought with them through four long and bitter years of civil war. Our battle flags were held up to the wind again, powerful names written upon them in fading gold letters, the names of battles like Gettysburg, Antietam, Chickamauga, Shiloh, Petersburg, where I was, and Appomattox. So there up front were the generals and the white soldiers right behind them. And forgotten way in the back of the parade came us black soldiers. You see, even though we bled with them and died with them, it seems now they don't quite want us marching with them. But every May 30th we come out anyhow for the parade, the few of us still left, and we march in the parade too, invited or not. Maybe it's cussedness on our part, but I think it's because we want to remind folks that blacks fought in the war too and died in the war. I admit, we're getting old now. A lot of us boys are getting gray in the beard and a bit bald on top. But when we put the blue Yankee suits on, smelling of mothballs, it all comes back. Like it's in the blood somehow. You can almost hear the sergeants cussing at us again. You can almost feel the cool breeze of morning as we stood in line waiting for the order to charge, the thunder of the cannon booming all around us. We stand a little straighter again, laughing when one of us has a hard time buttoning up his uniform, our backs cracking when we hear the long roll of the drums and snap to attention. So you might have seen me way in the back of that parade. I was the one with a drum slung over my shoulder, my empty left sleeve pinned up across my breast. An old one-armed drummer. I guess is kind of a queer sight. But I'm getting ahead of myself, and maybe I should tell you in the way it happened, rather than all backward the way I'm telling it right now. My name is Samuel Washburn. At least, it's the name I go by now. You see, it wasn't my birth name and the name they said over me when the preacher dunked me in the river. Why, then I was just plain Sam, though some called me Sambo or the Washburn family's newest nigger. Like I said before, I was born a slave. As near as I can reckon, now it was in the year 1849, or maybe 1850.
Now you might be wondering, Sam, if you were born a slave, how come you could write a decent hand and folks call you a lawyer?
Well, all that in its proper time. My ma was a house slave working inside the Washburns' big house. She was able to wear some fine clothes for a slave. The cast-offs of the missus. She never was hit either, at least while old Massa Washburn was alive. My pa was a free man, a blacksmith no less, living in Perryville, Kentucky. He'd been born a slave, too, on the Washburn farm.
But he learned himself a trade, and after doing all the blacksmithing work for the Washburns,
they'd hired him out to other white folk who needed things done, like shoeing horses, making tools, putting iron rims on wagon wheels, and such. And what little time he had left at end of the day, he'd make a couple of extra things. He could turn out a real fine lightning rod or weather vane that was all so fancy, and Massa Washburn let him sell these things.
Half the barns and houses around Perryville must have had one of Paul's lightning rods on them, and never one of them burned from lightning,
though they sure didn't keep the Yankees from burning them down when the war came. He worked for near on to 20 years, never spending even two bits on himself. Come Sundays, he worked and saved, and he finally bought himself into freedom for all of $1,500. Massa Washburn even gave him a little piece of land at the edge of town to live on in exchange for his doing some of the chores around the farm. So Pa set himself up as a smithy and was saving money again to buy Ma out of slavery. You see, if it wasn't for Ma, Pa would have gone north over the Ohio River when he bought his freedom. Being a free black man in Kentucky wasn't the best of things, especially with the trouble starting, but he loved Ma and wouldn't leave her behind. Sad thing was that there wasn't just Ma after I came along, and so he was going to have to buy me too. I had two sisters, but both of them died of the cholera. It was sad. Ma would cry any time their names were mentioned, though I don't recall it since I was only 3 when it happened. At least Pa wouldn't have to buy their freedom as well. Finding out you're a slave is a strange sort of feeling. I grew up alongside Ben Washburn, he being my age, the only son of Massa and Mrs. Washburn. All the rest of their children were girls and a lot older than us.
Ma was his mammy and nursed him same as me.
We played together out on the front porch on warm summer days. We played Indians. My big cousin Jimmy, who was born of Ma's sister, who died birthing him. And I would be the Indian, and Ben would be George Washington or Daniel Boone. We always lost. I think I was about 5, maybe 6 or so, when one day I got awful mad at Ben and said, I wanted to win for a change. He laughed at me and said I couldn't win since I was a stupid nigger slave.
I got mad and punched him hard in the eye. Now, it wasn't anything, just a little boy's punch that could barely hurt a fly, but he started into bawling and ran into the big house. Out came his mama, with my ma right behind her.
And I saw that my ma was awful scared, her eyes wide, and she was wringing her apron into knots of worrying. It was a queer sort of feeling. I could see my ma was scared to death of the missus, and it seemed as if everything in the world got terribly quiet, everybody stopping to see what was going to happen. I thought Mrs. Washburn would take my arm right off of me. When she yanked me off the ground, she picked me up and shook me till it felt like my head was about to burst and I couldn't see all too well. And Ma just stood there, crying softly, and I saw she was afraid. I started screaming for Ma to make her stop, but Ma just stood there frozen, all pale and shaky. Mrs. Washburn finally threw me back down on the ground, where I landed hard on my head, and then she turned to my Ma.
If your little nigger brat ever lays a hand on my boy again, I'll sell you both down south.
Ma tried to open her mouth to say something, but no words could come out of her, and she stood there, shaking. Well, this was one big commotion. Everybody saw it. I noticed the other black folks, and there was about 20 of them living in Washburn Farm, were standing very quiet, not saying anything. Massa Washburn came around from the back of the house and asked what all the fuss was about. The missus just laid into him, shouting that he was too easy on his niggers, that they needed firm treatment. He tried to make her calm down and go back into the house, and she started yelling even louder. He got real mad then. But it wasn't at her who was causing all the fuss, but rather at us. He cursed and shouted at Ma to get out of sight and take me along. Ma swept me up off the ground and ran. I guess I was pretty badly hurt. I had fevers for a while, got real dizzy when I tried to stand up, and threw up anything Ma tried to put into me.
Pa came to see me on Sunday, visiting day, and I saw him standing outside our cabin talking with Master Washburn, their voices low.
Pa seemed vexed, his head bowed as Master Washburn talked angrily and then went away. My pa came into our cabin. Ma started into crying and he held her, making hushing sounds. He came over to where I was, lying on our corn husk mattress, and sat down by me, putting his hand to my head.
Pa was a big and powerful man and afraid of nothing.